Scripture reading is Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. Let me read. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Amen.
사람이 태어나 죽는 것은 누구도 피해갈 수 없는
Death is inevitable for everybody, but the value of death of each one will be different. Some people's death is a sacrifice that saves a lot of people, and some righteous men, they die for the country. And such people will be commended and praised by their later generations. Some people die after living for themselves and their family members, and some people try to gain wealth, fame, and social power, and eventually they also die.
병이나 사고로 짧은 삶을 살다 죽음을 맞는 사람.
Some people die early because of diseases or accidents, or some people commit suicide. Nowadays, there are people who there are some suicide bombers who kill themselves as well as so many other people. Some people get executed after committing crimes and doing a lot of evil. The death can be earthly death is the same thing, but after death, the life after death is completely different. And also evaluation for each person's death will be very different. And some people, they live the righteous life, helping so many others. For some others' death, people would say it's better that he is dead. So not only some famous people who are recorded in the history, but even for people around us, we can see that evaluation will be very different. And today I'm going to talk about some glorious death. And I'm going to talk about the martyrdom of 12 disciples. For the Easter performance, you watched this performance martyrdom, and the most impressive scene was they were not shaky or nervous even before death. Paul was walking towards the place where he was going to be beheaded, and you can see that he's rather smiling. He's completely free of fear or any nervousness. We were thinking of Jesus and Jesus' cross, and also we saw how Paul and Mary Magdalene, they were thinking of Jesus and thinking about Jesus' death. And later we saw these 12 disciples, and they boldly, bravely chose a martyrdom. And those who really believe in the Lord, they don't care about their own life, their own well-being. The apostles, they chose to suffer with the Lord. And in this session, I will talk about how these 12 disciples became martyrs. Martyr is one who chooses to suffer death rather than renounce religious principles. But for us, to be a martyr is to give our lives before the Father and the Lord to keep our faith. And when I talk about how 12 disciples faced their death, let us think about how comfortably we are leading a life in faith. I'm just going to talk about the martyrdom of 12 disciples, but I'm not going to talk about what kind of life we have to lead, thinking of their martyrdom, but let us think about that point ourselves. I hope you will feel that. You will think about it and get the answer yourself. Do we, even though there could be some persecutions by your family members or people around you, if you give out the light of the Christ, your families will be evangelized, and you're not facing persecutions of the government order. Law enforcement or such people. You have the freedom to preach the gospel. So we are living at a very comfortable time in terms of keeping our faith and evangelism. So, and I hope you will think about this point. And also, I'm not delivering this message to tell you that you should be martyrs, but even though we don't give our lives, physical lives, we have to have the faith to be willing to become martyrs. So let us think about what kind of a life it is to be a spiritual martyr. The names of the 12 disciples are written in Matthew chapter 10, Mark chapter 3, Luke chapter 6, and Acts chapter 1. The order is not always the same, but anyway, they were Peter and Andrew, his brother, James and John, his brother. So Peter and Andrew and James and John, these two were brothers respectively, and Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. Because Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus, Matthias was selected to replace him. In Acts chapter 1, 23 to 26, we can find it. And Jesus called the disciples when he began his public ministry, and amazingly, they all obeyed. They forsook all their parents, brothers, their occupation. They didn't think about anything else, but just obeyed. It's because they saw the power of Jesus that he performed, and they realized that the message he preached was true. So before Jesus began his ministry in full scale, he performed some powerful works, and he also preached the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And so after seeing the power, powerful works, and listening to his words, they just obeyed to become his followers, to become his disciples. Of course, they obeyed, but they were not perfect yet. They didn't have any power. It's just that Jesus saw their inner heart. They had a lot of mistakes too. Sometimes they used their fleshly thoughts. But seeing Jesus perform so many powerful works, and that, and after Jesus knew that they would change after seeing all his ministry and his resurrection and ascension. They didn't understand the spiritual messages of Jesus at first. And when they didn't understand, Jesus explained in parables. And he showed the example of service. So after the ascension of the Lord, when they received the Holy Spirit, they were not afraid of persecutions. And they went on missionary trips, not just in Jerusalem. And they preached the gospel in Europe, in Asia Minor. And they did all their best to evangelize so many people. It's because they saw the power of God through Jesus, and they heard His messages, and they were trained by Jesus. Being trained, it means that Jesus gave them His power to preach the gospel. They didn't just see Jesus perform powerful works, but Jesus gave them a portion of His power so that they could also perform powerful works too. Matthew 10:1 says, Jesus summoned His 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Calling them and sealing them with the power of Jesus is recorded in Luke 6:12. That it was after He prayed all night in the mountain. So before He appointed 12 disciples to perform with His power, Jesus prayed before the Father God. So Luke 9:6 says, departing, they began going throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Mark 6:12-13 also says, they went out and preached that men should repent, and they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. And they saw how Jesus was doing His ministry, and sometimes Jesus explained to them the secret things of the spiritual realm, and also He gave them something like, in today's sense, on-the-job training. Actually in the field, Jesus let them perform powerful works. So that's how Jesus trained them. And they realized that when Jesus prayed for me and with the power of God, I can do it. You know, I lack many things, but if I, with the power of God, I can do a lot of things. So that is why after Jesus' ascension, they did a lot of great things. So they even drove out demons and even healed sick people. It's not that they performed with the powerful works by themselves, but it was because of the power of Jesus that Jesus anointed on them. But also because they trusted Jesus, they could perform with Jesus' power. And also we know that we remember that the senior pastor has prayed, anointed for some people to share the power of God. It was the accumulation of the power, prayer that He was interceding for us. You know, just by going into the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you will perform the power of God. And for men of Holy Spirit, He let them perform it the authoritative power, and for men of spirit, with the power. And just as Jesus taught and trained His disciples, He also trained them And the disciples lacked many things, but they could perform the powerful works because they trusted Jesus. And in the first place, they forsook all their lives and they just followed Jesus. Sometimes they had to, they could have been afraid because some powerful people in the society, they tried to kill Jesus. And yet they were still following him. And all this fulfilled the measure of justice and they could perform with the power of God. Matthew 26:56 says, Then all the disciples left him and fled when Jesus was captured. But Jesus didn't discard them, forsake them, but he met them again after resurrection. So after meeting the Lord of resurrection, they came to have true faith. When Jesus was there, you know, even in the persecutions, they were not afraid because Jesus was there. But now, Jesus was captured and he was suffering and they were afraid and they all ran away. And yet, because they saw the Lord who resurrected, they were not afraid of death. Jesus certainly suffered so much. He bled and he lost all his water and blood and he died on the cross. And disciples now didn't have any hope or joy. They didn't know what to do tomorrow. But Jesus resurrected and he was even more beautiful than before. So they were not afraid of death anymore. Because Jesus died, but resurrected. They knew that they could also resurrect even if they died. And also, on top of everything else, they had the hope of heavenly kingdom full in them. So, now they were not afraid of death. And just as Jesus gave them the great commission, they did missionary works. So after they received the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:43 says, many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. So when they prayed in the name of Jesus Christ, they performed many signs and wonders. But not all 12 disciples could perform with the power of God in the same measure, in the same magnitude. Even though Jesus gave them the power, the same power to the 12 disciples, according to the justice, according to the qualifications, the magnitude of the power was different from the disciple to disciple. Mark 16:20 says, and they went out and preached everywhere. It was after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. Before the ascension, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. The 12 disciples preached not just in Israel, but in Rome, you know, what is Rome today, Italy, and Greece, Ephesus, Turkey, Armenia, India, Ethiopia, Egypt, and Iran, in so many places. And every disciple became a martyr except John the Apostle. But John was also martyred, actually, in his sense. He was thrown into the pot of boiling oil, but he didn't die. So he was exiled to Patmos Island. But in essence, so all 12 disciples became martyrs. So let me talk about the martyrdom of each disciple. First, it is James, son of Zebedee. They were from Galilee, and they were fishermen. According to some records, Zebedee was a Levite, descendant of Levi, and he was close to the family of the high priest, and he was rich. So, John 18:15 says, "Now the disciple was known to the high priest and entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. The night Jesus was arrested and was tortured, there was a disciple who knew the high priest, and he went into the court of the high priest. Because he had this, he was an acquaintance of the high disciple. He was close to Jesus. You know, he was standing at the cross. So that's why Jesus entrusted Mary, Virgin Mary, to John. So we see that John was taking care of the Virgin Mary. And we see Peter, who was weeping from afar. And because John had this kind of influence, he brought Peter into the court of the high priest. So James and his brother John, they had some social status. After calling Peter and Andrew, Jesus called these two brothers, and they just forsook their boats and their nets and father and workers, and they just followed Jesus. And also in the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was transfigured, they were there. There were three disciples, Peter, John, and James. So these three loved Jesus more than others, and they were trusted by Jesus more than others. Herod Agrippa was anointed as the first governor of Judah, and he began to persecute the Christians. Acts 12, 1-2 says, "Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them, and he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword." So he was the first one to be martyred. In Mark chapter 10, we see James and John asked Jesus, asked him that they would sit on either side of the Lord when he would receive the glory. And he asked, "Can you take my cup?" And they said yes. And as they said, James was martyred for the first time among the 12. And John was thrown into the pot of boiling oil. And yet they didn't forsake their faith. Next is Andrew. He was a brother of Peter. And after the resurrection of the Lord, it is said that he preached in Asia Minor, Romania, and Greece. And there, you know, you see that there are brothers among the 12. Peter and Andrew were brothers, and James and John were brothers. And in our church too, there are some brothers who are doing the ministry of the pastors. And it's that if you are changed by the gospel, by the grace of the Lord, you know, your family is evangelized. Anyway, it is said that he He was preaching in Romania and he evangelized the people there. And he is said to have been martyred by crucifixion at the city of Petra in Achaia on the northern coast of the Peloponnese. This city was filled with idols, and the governors, they were offering sacrifices to idols every day. And Andrew preached the gospel there, and so many people discarded idols and confessed Jesus as the Lord. And one of them was the wife of the governor, and the governor was enraged, and he wanted to wipe out all the Christians. And Andrew was questioned before the governor, and he threatened Andrew that he would crucify him, but if he would bow before an idol, he would let him live. But of course, Andrew refused, and according to some legends, it says that he asked to be crucified on an X-shaped cross. There were so many other tools to torture him, to kill him. And the people who were watching Andrew were moved because Andrew was praying, being filled with emotion, that he was giving thanks and he was filled with joy, and he was kissing the cross. And so the governors, the officials, they didn't persecute him right away because they thought maybe the crowd would cause a commotion. And so they thought, they decided that they would crucify him, but not nail him, but just hang him on the cross, so that people would not be so agitated. And while he was on the cross, maybe he would change his mind. After being arrested, he was tortured and torn apart, and was hanging on the cross, and he just gave thanks to the Lord, and he gave his last sermon being on the cross. It's a little better than being nailed. He was tied to the cross. The people there, some of them were following Andrew, and some others, they were just wondering what he would do. There could be the officials too. They said, it is said that his message continued, his sermon continued for about 2 days. And so many people were touched by his sermon and accepted the Lord. You know, you know that almost all people, even though they are such strong people, you know, they will be afraid of death. They'll do anything to escape death, from death. But he was so brave and confident, even before death. And after the message sermon was over, he finally breathed his last. And next is Philip. Some people get confused with the deacon Philip in the book of Acts, but they are two different persons. After Philip met Jesus, he brought Nathanael, or Bartholomew, to Jesus. And this Philip, before the miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus asked him to test him. And he said, right away, he said, you know, he was a very good with numbers. So he said that we would need 200 denarii of money. And before Jesus went on to Gethsemane to pray, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And as soon as he heard that, he asked Jesus to show him the Father. Rather than thinking with the eyes of faith, he was just looking at things with the eyes of reality. He was among the disciples who became martyrs early. According to some records and legends, he was stoned to death in Heliopolis in Asia Minor, 8 years after James was martyred. Next is Bartholomew. John 1:47-51 is the record of the scene where he met with Jesus for the first time. Jesus said in John 1:47, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. According to the records of the early church, he ministered in Persia and India, even in Ethiopia, in some Mesopotamian regions, Iran, Turkey, and Armenia. According to legends, he was skinned by the king of Babylon, Babylonia in while doing his ministry work in Armenia. Next is Thomas. He said that we can see his negative thoughts, fleshly thoughts. When Jesus said, let us go to revive Lazarus, he said, let us also go so that we may die with him. And when he said he was going to prepare for the dwelling places, he said, Lord, we do not know where we are going. How do we know the way? And also, he didn't believe other disciples who said they saw the resurrected Lord. And so Jesus, he said in John 20:27, only after Jesus appeared again before the disciples and said, Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. So even though he was full of doubt after experiencing the resurrection of the Lord, he did his ministry with so much enthusiasm. So it is said he came to India in 52 AD and preached the gospel for 20 years before he was martyred. It is said that he was beheaded in Chennai, and there is a small hill. So in India, you see the churches that were established at the time of Thomas, that were established by Thomas. Senior pastor did a crusade in 2002 in India. You see that many disciples, the 12 disciples, they preached in so many places. And beginning with the Roman Empire, many people accepted the Lord. And as you know, India is a very dominantly Hindu country. But the blood of Thomas was not in vain, and it led to the crusade that senior pastor conducted in 2002. Even though there was this ordinance against forced conversions of religion, we held a crusade that had the greatest number of attendants in Christian history of India. Even though they were threatening this crusade, even by implementing a law, ordinance against the conversion, other people, you know, local pastors, some others, they were afraid, but senior pastor, he was not afraid at all. He just boldly preached Jesus Christ. And as a result, so many people converted. So it was the, it was said to be the greatest Christian crusade. And we see that more than 60% of the, attendants, it said that they were Hindus because they have these red dots on their forehead. In the past, I didn't know what it was, but the Hindus, they put this red dot on their head, forehead. And I actually saw so many of them with these dots on their forehead. And these people, they accepted Jesus Christ and they converted. So through this crusade, so many people accepted Jesus Christ. And it was live broadcast on 4 TV channels. And it was also for the first time in Christian history that a Christian meeting was live broadcast. Just like us, so many people's sins could be forgiven through the blood of Jesus. The blood of the martyrs was not in vain either. By reaping so many fruits in the India Crusade, you know, it was the chance to it was a chance to get the fruit of the blood that the Thomas shed. Next is Matthew. He was a tax collector. And tax collectors were objects of contempt by the Jews. Because they had the right to levy taxes on the people. So many times they extorted the Jews, the people. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they were criticizing these tax collectors. I mean, Jesus was, Jesus called this Matthew, and Jesus called tax collectors and sinners, and he dined with them, and Pharisees were criticizing this Jesus. And he said in Luke 5:31-32, Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And according to the legends, Matthew was preaching in Ethiopia, and he was killed by a weapon called did it with a spear and axe and everything together in one rod, in one weapon. Next is James the son of Alphaeus, because there are same Jameses. So sometimes you use the name of the region they were from, like Mary Magdalene, the Mary from the Magdalene, or in sometimes they use the name of the father, James the son of Alphaeus, or the James the son of Zebedee. They were John and James the sons of Zebedee, and now there's another James the son of Alphaeus. Some records say he preached the gospel in Syria and in Persia, and there are many records that say he was stoned to death or beaten to death or he was crucified. There's also Thaddeus, Judas who is not Iscariot. In Luke and Acts and John, it is said that he is Judas, not Iscariot. Judas Iscariot is the one who betrayed him, so he was Judas, but he was not Iscariot. According to some early records, Thaddeus went to the north. He preached in Edessa and also Beirut. According to many records, he healed the diseases of the king of Edessa. And these records were found in the records of the king of Edessa in around the 4th century. And about his martyrdom, it is said that he was killed by some weapons while preaching in Assyria and Persia. It is said that Simon was preaching in the Britain Island. And it is said that Simon was sawed in two in what is now Iran. But Matthias, it is said that he was stoned to death in Jerusalem, or he was crucified. Eventually, it is said that he was beheaded, eventually. And John is one of the most beloved disciples of Jesus. He was at the scene of Jesus' crucifixion. And he was even after after the gospel was preached in Samaria, he prayed that they would receive the Holy Spirit with Peter, along with Peter. He prayed. And also he established many churches in East Asia Minor. And he also did his ministry in the church of Ephesus. And he was arrested during the persecution of Domitian. And he was thrown into the pot of boiling water, but he didn't die. So he was exiled to Patmos Island. And you just saw this picture. It was somebody, you know, God let the spiritual eyes open, and angels also drew on the pillars of this church. And there was an artist, painter, whose spiritual eyes were opened, and he did the sketch. And he was quite old and with a little lump on his forehead. And he went through all these things, and he recorded the book of Revelation. So he lived, he outlived every other, all the other disciples. So it is actually martyrdom for him. He preached the gospel, and he was arrested, and he was thrown into the pot of boiling oil. Of course, it was martyrdom, but to our surprise, he didn't die. He didn't get burned. How surprised they must have been, you know. So people would have thought they couldn't kill him. So they just sent him to exile, to the place where they would send some politicians to exile. So he was sent to Patmos Island, and God moved their heart that way. So senior pastor prayed about this matter to the Lord, whether this record is true, as in the record about Peter, And he got the answer that the Lord confirmed that it was true. So John was actually thrown into the pot of boiling oil. And the officials, they decided they couldn't kill him, and they sent him to exile. And it was, their heart was moved, God moved their heart that way. And it was very small island where people didn't have so much interaction with the mainland. So he could concentrate on prayer. And by God's way, he became a martyr actually, but he was not killed. And so he had a chance to pray in solitude. We still have the place where he was placing his hands and where he put his head. And you see that he had this lump on his forehead because he was praying in a cave. Sometimes he would bump his head on the wall of the cave. And also because he lived for a long time. The one who persecuted John was Domitian, and he was reigning between 81 to 96 AD. So John lived for a long time. So he preached the gospel all throughout his life, and at the end, he was put to death, but God didn't let him die. And he was exiled to Patmos Island and recorded some books in the Bible. And prayed, he kept on concentrated on prayers, and he received a revelation. And in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he also saw the visions. And that's all how he wrote the book of Revelation. So we can remember some other incidents in the Bible, like Daniel. Even though he was thrown into the lion's den, God closed the mouths of the lions, and the lions couldn't harm him at all. And also his three friends were thrown into the fiery furnace that was seven times hotter than usual. But by God's protection, they were not harmed at all. And why would God let the disciples become martyrs? Why wouldn't he allow them comfortable death? Because by becoming martyrs, they could gain a lot more rewards in heaven. The disciples, they were not afraid or complaining. They were not complaining about becoming martyrs. Now, seeing the cross, they thought it was truly honor. And even while they were being tortured, those who were torturing, they were asking him to deny the Lord. And of course, God knew that they would never deny the Lord. And because all these things would sum up to much more rewards, much bigger and greater rewards, and much greater glory in heaven. So that's why God allowed them these hardships, sufferings, and martyrdom. In exchange, God gave them a lot more good things in heaven. In order to be able to write about the things at the end of time, John had to be completely holy and sanctified. When he met with Jesus in the beginning, Jesus said he was the son of thunder. He was kind of hard-tempered. But he became sanctified, and he was qualified to receive the revelation, to write the book of Revelation. Eventually, he was changed into apostle of love, and he spread the love of the Lord. And this holiness, becoming holy, becoming this sanctification, is to break down your own ego and your own characters. So John was changed, and he became a man of spirit and whole spirit. And until his life ended on earth, he fulfilled his duty to record the book of Revelation. How lonely he would have been. You know, he just lived only with prayer. You know, he was not enjoying himself. So he just lived a life of obedience. His life didn't end by martyrdom, but in essence, he actually became martyr. It's just that God didn't let him die. So he overcame all the persecutions and even martyrdom, and he fulfilled all the duties that were given to him, and he became one of the 12 elders in heaven. So let us think about what kind of life, what are we living for? If you live for the things to eat, things to wear, and all the earthly things, it is in vain. You know, everything ends here on earth. But if you live for things above, it'll be valuable. Finally, let me talk about Peter. His name was Simon, and Jesus changed his name, gave him a new name, Peter, which means rock. And this picture, this sketch, is the face of Peter that God showed to us by angels drawing, and also with the spiritual eyes. An artist saw this with his spiritual eyes, what was on the pillar of the church, and he sketched this. Peter loved Jesus so much, but the night Jesus was arrested, when his life was threatened, he denied the Lord 3 times and even cursed him. The moment the rooster cried, he was reminded of the word of Jesus, and he was banging his head on the ground and repenting. After he confessed his love for the Lord at Galilee, he preached the gospel for a long time. Acts 2:41 says, "So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." So he even made 3,000 people repent in a day, and revived so many dead people, healing so many sick with the power of God, and he also preached the gospel to many Gentiles. And he actually became a very solid rock for the early church. And he was crucified upside down in Rome around 65 AD. When persecution against Christianity was getting even more serious, by the advice of people around him, he was coming out of Rome. You know, there had to be so many people around him who loved him. And because of the severe persecution, they advised him to go out of Rome. But the moment when Peter was coming out of Rome, he met the Lord in a vision. And Peter must have been so happy. And usually the Lord would happily greet him and talk to him. But the Lord didn't say a word. They were passing by. Peter was going away from Rome, and the Lord was going towards Rome without saying anything. And Peter asked, "Quo vadis?" Domine, Lord, where are you going? You know, Peter would have Peter must have expected the Lord to at least smile at him, talk to him, or, but there was nothing like that. This is not the Jesus himself, but it was the vision that Peter saw. And the Lord said, I'm going into Rome to be crucified again for you. And so Peter realized the will of the Lord right away, that the Lord wanted him to die in Rome and not escape from Rome. And this scene was made known widely through the movie Quo Vadis in 1951. And senior pastor asked in prayer whether it was true. And he received the answer that it was actually true. And Peter said he didn't deserve to die on the cross like Jesus. And he wanted to be crucified upside down, having more pain. And it
is,
and according to some legends, Peter's wife was also being drawn to be executed. And Peter saw his wife and he said to her, he was happy to see her and said, remember the Lord. You know, oh my wife, he didn't think like, oh my wife is also dying, and he didn't become saddened, but he just asked her to remember the Lord, being happy. And there is a confession that Peter made when he was watching this, seeing this cross where he was going to be crucified. It is in the book Profession. That cross is the glory of the Lord, who is my love. And what an honor to be hung on that cross. I can only give thanks that the Lord has given me this glory. What did the Lord think of me when he saw me as a child? Now my eyes are looking at that cross, just like the Lord's eyes looked at his cross. Well, Lord, when you were with us, if I had the heart then, that is the heart I have now, I would have wiped out your tears. But you still loved me and told me many things and let me realize. You let me remember all this before my life is taken. And you let me reminisce and give thanks with hot tears. Lord, I did nothing, but I, Peter, can give my heart to the Lord, and now I am going to see you. I could not please you when you were with us, but now I will be at your side with joy. My long beard and silver hair tell me that much time has passed, but I, Peter, have been the same all these years, and Lord, you know this. Now I let go of everything peacefully and be at your side. And after professing that he was crucified upside down, let me conclude the message. The 12 disciples spent time with Jesus only for 3 years, or even shorter. But they inscribed the love and sacrifice of Jesus in their heart, and after witnessing the resurrection of the Lord and receiving the Holy Spirit, they had brave, bold faith and suffered so many hardships and persecutions while preaching that Jesus is the Lord. But they never regretted or complained. Acts 5, 40-42 says, they took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. So they were rather rejoicing that they had been suffering for the name of the Lord. And they were told that they should never speak in the name of Jesus Christ. But after that, in verse 42 it says, and every day in the temple and from house to house they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They didn't succumb to any persecution. They didn't hide themselves. They didn't say it was hard. They took joy in suffering for the name of the Lord. And they worked faithfully until they eventually became martyrs. How could they do that? Because they knew and believed that it was the way of eternal life and such great glory. And as a result, they received such great blessings. It is that their names were written as the 12 foundations of the city of New Jerusalem, as in the book of Revelation. Of course, the 12th is Matthias instead of Judas Iscariot. Matthew 16:27 says, for the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Will we live this earthly life for momentary happiness or fame, social power, and wealth? Or will we live knowing the source of life, God the Father, and live for eternal life? The outcome will be completely different. The disciples didn't fear death or persecutions. They just kept on preaching Jesus as the Lord and Christ. And they became martyrs without any fear. What an honorable death it is. And I'm not saying this so that you will also become martyrs. We are born in a good age that we don't have to suffer because we believe in the Lord. We are at so much comfort. You know, nobody is asking us to give our physical lives. But we have to have this faith of martyrdom. Even though we don't physically die, of course, if we are put in that kind of situation, we have to choose faith. But even though we are not put in that kind of situation, you know, the faith of martyrdom is to cast away all the perishing flesh and to come forth as true children of God. The faith of martyrdom is to put to death our fleshly attributes and come forth as men of spirit. And if we have this faith, we are not going to say or feel it is hard to go this narrow way, but it will rather be only joy, especially. I don't have time. So I only talked about the death, the martyrdoms of the 12 disciples, but they're not the only ones who became martyrs. Even though they were not apostles or ministers, even members of the early church, so many of them became martyrs. They didn't forsake their faith. And let us check whether we have this kind of faith of martyrdom. And if we have this faith, we'll be on the alert and pray and become faithful for God's kingdom. And let us realize once again that we are at so much comfort leading a life in faith. And let us check if you were saying it is hard or you are disappointed. And if you were, let us come to repentance. The disciples stayed with Jesus only for 3 years. And for the rest of their lives, they gave all their lives for the Lord. But you've been with us, shepherd, for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, even more, watching and witnessing so many signs and wonders. And compared to the disciples, you cannot say you lack anything. You know, you've seen so many things. You have heard so many things. And you see the life of sacrifice through the life of the shepherd. So aren't we supposed to live a life that is more than disciples, more than the disciples of Jesus? Because we have received so much more. So let us think about what kind of life, what kind of thanksgiving we should have in our lives. And let us also try to save as many souls as possible. And let us go try to go into spirit and Holy Spirit so that you will dwell in the glory later in heaven. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Lord, receive the prayer for the sick of the senior pastor on video. Lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities. And for those who are not sick, lay your hands on your chest for your heart's desires. Hallelujah. Almighty God, the Father God who loves us, lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Light come. Scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers. AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations, go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases, go away. All kinds of paralysis, be loosened, get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Father, let there be no scars remaining. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessings of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants, go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away, light come. Father God, give them the strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and then let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying the Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.